Hello again. Welcome back to Believers Academy in our series, Favor the Way to the Top. My name is Chris, and this is my anointed wife, Camille, and we're from the staff of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Camille, can you believe it? We are already on our third lesson.
That's right, Chris. And I'm so excited about our lesson today, God Will Not Fail You. Just imagine what could you accomplish if you knew you could not fail. I know that gets me excited. God's favor is available to help us, to take us out of fear, and put us in a position to succeed. We are so thankful that you are studying with us. Don't forget about the study aids we've prepared for you. And if you haven't found them already, I'll let you in on a little secret. You can even download the leader's notes. Now that's worth sharing with your friends. All of the free downloads are right there on your screen. Just like before, at any time during the presentation, feel free to pause to look up scripture, write notes, or rewind. Here we go. Let's join Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston now.
This is the day. Praise God. I mean, any second now, just any minute now, the word of the living God is going to burst forth in your life. Praise God. What Jesus said, and he shall receive 100-fold now. Now, in this time, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, amen, I'm stirred up, Bill. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we give you the praise and the honor for every word said and every deed done. Praise God. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This is Bill Winston, and we're going to turn over here and turn him loose. Praise God. Because, I mean, he done got me so I am rich. You know, years ago, first time I ever met Fred Pryor. Uh-huh. And, you know, I mean, we both of us just kids, boy. We were so fired up over the word of faith, neither one of us could hardly stand it.
Right.
And we were preaching in a meeting there of Brother Hagin's in Tulsa. And they introduced Fred. And he ran out there on that platform. He said, "Glory to God, I am ready, Freddy." And he was too, man. And he was teaching, you know what? On that, he opened the door that day to, in my heart and mind, it just shook me that we are the seed of Abraham. Now, I'd been studying this, and it was so in me. I remember I went into glory, and Bill, we needed everything, man. Yes. The car we had was a wreck. Where it brought $250 when we finally got another car. And didn't have any clothes. We had, Glory and I didn't have anything. And a bunch of debt. We had that. And I saw that we are the, if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, man. And I grabbed her one day, I set her down, I said, "Girl, we rich now. I mean, this ain't nothing but a matter of time here." Glory to God. Oh. And that's what had hold of Fred so strong. He come running out there on that platform. He couldn't stand it anymore. "I am ready, Freddy." And he's talking about whatever God had promised Abraham was promised to me.
Gotcha.
Bill, we were all so excited. We just go somewhere and just explode, you know.
A man said that revelation turns you into a revolutionary.
It does. In every good sense of the word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen. Goodness.
Genesis. Chapter 12.
Amen. Well, let's start again. This is when, again, Abraham comes and he's called by God. He said, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you." Now, what he's calling Abraham out is stop depending on your parents, your pedigree, anything else, and come on out and depend totally on me. Because a lot of times people are trying to get faith to work and they're depending on something else. They're not depending on God, see. But the God kind of faith demands that God not only be your source, but he's your only source. And so we have to put our faith and trust totally in God. So that's what he's going to have him do here. So he's pulling him out. And so now in verse 2, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, what we said in the Amplified, I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors. Now, notice what he's doing. He's having Abram to step out on the plan that he has for his life. And that's what a lot of people need to do, because we've been put here for a purpose. There is a purpose that we're occupying this space
it's
on this earth.
It's not a poor purpose.
It's not a poor, that's exactly
no, it
right.
It doesn't have anything to yeah, do with yeah, poverty yeah, except to get yeah, rid of it.
Exactly. See, when I, like I said, came to Chicago with $200, I don't think it's so much as the $200. It was that God was trying to teach me how to depend on him.
Sure.
That's all that was. That was the author and the finisher of my faith.
Didn't Jesus do that yes, when he brought... Now, he's got this diversity yeah, of people yeah, that he brought into his ministry. Mm-hmm. He's got a fisherman, yeah, he's got a tax collector, he's got a... and all these different people. He brings them in there.
Yep.
Then he says, now look, don't bring nothing. You leave it all at home.
Gotcha.
You don't even bring a change of clothes, which people religiously mistook that for his saying, now nah, you have to be poor to serve me. No. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that I am in charge here, and you're going to learn to depend on me.
That's exactly
now, they got to the end right there at the last. He said, when I ask you to leave everything behind, did you lack anything? They said, no, Master, we lack nothing. Wow.
He wants to teach everybody that, because unless you depend on him, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5,
Cursed
is a man that trusteth in man
and
makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. He'll be like a heath in the desert and shall not even see when good comes. But blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord. Isn't that something?
And it's
like having a tree limb that's been disconnected from the tree. Well, you don't get any flow. And so what happens? Start drying up. See, start getting dry and so forth. Same thing about people's lives. When they're trying to trust in the system versus trust in the kingdom and God and his purpose for their lives, they begin to kind of dry up. They feel unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as fruitful. And they go, man, you know, well, maybe you need to go back up and find out and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do here? What's your purpose for my life? And now, as they get into that, God says, okay, now grace kicks in because you're in the sweet spot. And grace will kick in, now doors will start open. Wow. So she said, hey, God spoke to me and told me to keep you and your family as long as you take to get started here in Chicago. Whoa. And I mean, just so I'm saying one thing after another. Why? Because we're walking in that grace of God. We're walking in the favor of God. Doors are opening now. People say, wow, that's a... luckiest guy I know.
I'm not lucky, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Yeah, amen.
You see, because I'm walking in the flow.
I'm not blessed because I'm rich.
I'm
rich because I'm blessed.
My goodness. See,
now, that's just opposite from the world's idea, Babylon's idea
indeed.
Of things. Mm-hmm. They think if you can get rich, you'd be blessed.
Yep.
No, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh
rich.
And that's by the grace of God, because he don't want you even trying to earn it from him. You can't earn it in the first place.
You can't earn it.
It's by grace.
I heard you say you can't earn anything that comes out of heaven.
No.
Praise God. I'm telling you, boy, that thing jumped in my spirit. Mm-mm. You can't earn it.
Think about how marvelously, wonderfully, overwhelmingly rich heaven is. How many years would you have to work just to earn one pearl?
My goodness.
But the thing of it is, that one pearl's 200 feet tall because the gate's made out of one
pearl. That's
you could work a million years, ah, man. You can't earn that.
Goodness.
No, but by grace, you already own it all.
Mm. So you don't have to work for it.
No.
So somebody asks you now, well, what do you do for a living?
Faith.
See, that's exactly right. See, he said, well, I work down in the post office. Well, now, wait a minute. Is that if you're a believer, that's not the case.
Now, you was in the military. Okay. You was mm-hmm. a fighter pilot.
Yep.
And while you was in the military, if I came up to you and I said, Bill, and you in uniform. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're standing mm-hmm. there. Yep. You got to see mm-hmm. your wings and, yep. and all that. Mm-hmm. And I say, Captain, what do you do for a living? Mm. Oh, that's a stupid question.
That's exactly
right. I can see what you do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, you ain't out there making a living. You're on assignment.
My goodness.
Now, we are not employed in the earth by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are deployed.
Praise God.
That's now, when they deployed you to Vietnam, Southeast
Asia.
That's
exactly right. It paid everything.
Did you lack anything?
They didn't lack a thing. They even gave me some extra combat pay that I never even told the home front about. I just... They eventually caught up with me. But I'm just saying.
But now, you never figured on having to make payments on that... Mm-mm. On that F-4 you was flying.
No.
You never figured on having to do... No.
All the tools.
No. That you're on assignment here. That's the way we're supposed to be living in this earth.
Favor is granted to the people that are on assignment so that they could be assured of success.
And whatever the assignment is.
Whatever the assignment is.
If you've got... the way the Lord got this across to me many years ago, you know, this is a concept.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been raised and taught a different concept altogether. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason the only thing that we could understand back there then was you're going to have to ask somebody for it. You're going to have to borrow it or steal it or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is all out here. Mm-hmm. And I've got to go to somebody else to get it. That's outside in people. But when we got born again, Bill, we became inside out people. The kingdom of God is on the inside of us. We were taught to beg God. He don't intend for us to beg Him. He intended for us to come to Him and say, Sir, I'm inquiring of you for the words to say in this situation because it's the Father that dwells within me. He does the work. And that's grace.
My goodness.
It's the way the kingdom operates, the kingdom process. But it takes a while to get the concept that we're not outside. Yeah. Go outside, get it, and bring it in.
Yep.
We go inside and bring it out, and the kingdom power forces cause it to manifest from the spirit realm into the natural material realm.
As much as we need.
Whew. Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Oh, yeah. Beyond Jesus. Your...
wildest God imagination. I heard you say that one time. That thing never left me. I've been building on that ever since. Never. I heard you preach that. My Lord.
I heard the word of the Lord one day. I was dealing with some radio and television bills and stuff like that, and he was teaching me in these areas. And one thing he said, don't seek ways to get money in. He said, you seek ways, or in other words, His ways are above my ways.
Yep.
So I'm seeking His ways to get this word out. And he said, the money will come in. In other words, he's telling me, I'll see to that. And listen to what he said. He said, Kenneth, I could make every human being ever born in planet Earth rich beyond their wildest dreams and concepts and never ever dip into my capital reserves. Oh, Bill.
See, that's a whole new process of thinking. Yeah. That's away from this shortage mentality. Sometimes, even as pastors, we've had this, you know, well, my members over there. Hey, we got enough folks out here to get saved that you can have more members and you can build edifices
my goodness,
for.
Yes.
That's shortage thinking. Mm. And the enemy traps people into that thinking. Next thing they know, they're trying to make it and trying to get it. It's all outside
it's
in.
It's fear-based. Mm?
It sure is.
It's fear-based. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. It's fear-based.
Doubt is fear-dependent.
Mm. That sure is.
Doubt depends on fear to work. Satan uses it that way.
Yes. Okay.
But when perfected love begins to work in us and we begin to see, God did all this for us in the first place. This never was about him.
Sure is that.
God so loved that he gave. He loved, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when we begin to realize that grace is his love manifested, overwhelming desire to treat us as if sin had never happened. He has no desire for any to perish. None.
The love of God.
And he swore,
he did.
I'll never be wroth with you again. I'll never be anything but kind to you again. And the devil come along and say, well, now, you know, God's upset at you over that. Oh, I know, you know, I just feel like I've just missed God. And well, so what? So has everybody else. Now, just get on your face and repent and say, Lord God, I just received my forgiveness. And what first John said? That he is faithful, he is just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen to me. Now, Bill, if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. And in his eyes, he accounted unto Abraham righteous.
Yes, sir.
In other words, he treated him like he didn't sin. That's what faith. Faith puts you in that place. He accounted it unto him. He gave righteousness to him on the credit. But then after Jesus went to the cross, went into hell, suffered the price for Adam's failure, raised from the dead, made us the righteousness of God in him.
See,
glory.
Now let's go to a verse here. This is John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And let's look at verse 33. All right. Now he says this. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I heard Jerry Savelle preach this one time, and it stayed with me. I'm telling you, I've been feeding off of it ever since. Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt you, destroy you, or make you fail. Let me tell you
glory
something. Now,
God.
Think about that. If Satan has been deprived of his right to hurt you, destroy you, or make you fail, then you can't fail because God is for you. He's not the failure person. The only person that can make a person fail in the kingdom is the person.
That's right. Satan can't make you do
anything. He can't make you do anything.
No.
He can't make you fail. So if that be the case, what would you do if you couldn't fail? Now, what is it that you're not doing that you would do?
Because of fear of failure.
Because of fear of failure.
Yeah. Oh, I see it.
See, and that's what happened over there in Numbers, and Numbers chapter 13. He said, no, there are giants in the land, we're as grasshoppers, and all of that. The other said, let us go up and once possess it, we're well able to overcome it. Now notice, they used their mouth against themselves and made themselves stop.
They did. Over and over.
Over and over.
They kept saying it. We're going to die out here in this desert. He brought us out here to kill us.
And the two who said, let us go up at once, we're well able, let's overcome it. Out of all of them, 3 million or whatever it is, they made it into the promised land. Now notice what made the difference. The person.
Yes.
The person made the difference, not the congregation. Nothing made the difference. I'm just saying, what would an individual do who's listening at this broadcast? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
If money was no object.
Money
what
was
would
no
you
object.
Do?
If God's gonna give you favor and open doors for you, lift you up, endorse you, give you aid.
If you were 30 years old again, what would you do?
Well, Brother Copeland, you know, I mean, it's gone by. I mean, I realize I was called to preach and I miss God, but it's too late for me now. Oh, it ain't too late if you ain't got but one day left. Spend it preaching. Spend it in the will of God.
Oh, we got to talk about this.
Bill, this is the shortest time any human being spends. I don't care if you live to be 120 years old. 120 years ain't nothing compared to eternity.
My goodness.
My. The scripture says over in the millennium, 100-year-old will still be considered a child.
That's exactly right. You did. Boy, that's worth meditating on right there.
We're out of time. We need to get back in this tomorrow.
Yep.
I sense the Lord going this kind of direction. You move away all of the boundaries. You said, well, I mean, what if I get out there and get killed? Well, so what? Whatever happened to dying for this gospel? I mean, let her happen. Praise God. Amen.
Wow. Isn't it so good to know that God will never fail you? Well, that concludes the third lesson in our series, Favor the Way to the Top. We hope you are learning a lot and growing in Believers Academy. Be sure to get the downloads that are located on your screen so you can get the most out of this series. Now, our fourth lesson is titled, The Favor of God is Powerful. There's so much to learn about the favor of God and how to apply it. We hope you will join us again very soon. Until next time, remember,
Jesus is Lord.